WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Probably the most daring new movie out now is Prick Up Your Ears. It's by the British director Stephen Frears, who made last year's critical success My Beautiful Laundrette. Frears' new film is about gay British playwright Joe Orton, who was murdered by his lover, Kenneth Halliwell. Our film critic Stephen Schiff has this review.
Prick Up Your Ears comes across the way Joe Orton's plays did. It's extremely sordid and extremely funny. Its subject is Orton's peculiar romance with Kenneth Halliwell, the aspiring writer who seduced Orton at acting school and then lived with him in a one-room London flat for the rest of their brief lives. When they met, Orton was a semi-literate street bloke. Halliwell initiated him in the ways of literature and lovemaking, pruning and cultivating his protege like a hothouse orchid. But Orton grew rich and celebrated, writing plays like Loot and entertaining Mr. Sloan. And Halliwell found himself languishing in obscurity. He became a drab homebody, the niggling wifey behind the great man. Finally, on August 9, 1967, Halliwell battered Orton to death with a hammer and then swallowed a fatal handful of Nembutals. Alan Bennett's nimble script doesn't analyze the murder, but it makes the reasons plain. Halliwell adored Orton, but he also envied him. And there was something else as well. It was Orton's wickedly detached humor that goaded Halliwell. It drove him crazy, in much the same way it drove the theatergoers of repressed 60s London crazy. They loved Orton, but they also knew he was laughing at them. Prick Up Your Ears is an inflammable metaphor for a certain kind of marriage, and what sets it aflame is its no-holds-barred depiction of homosexuality. This is gayness in the bad boy style Orton relished, replete with orgies in the public lavatories, mauve-tinted bitching, and even bevies of mutely willing Moroccan boys. Without ever being sexually explicit, Frears has made a revolutionary movie. His camera work is restless and swoony and very distinctive. He likes to whoosh smoothly down hallways. He likes to pace and crane, and his taste for wide, luxurious spaces recalls Vincent Minnelli. He gets a cunning, sexy performance out of Vanessa Redgrave as Orton's formidable agent, Peggy Ramsey.
Mr. Orton, would it be rude to inquire how you're managing to live?
National assistance. £3 a week. I'm afraid I've just come out of jail.
Excellent. Papers love all that.
Frears also draws a miraculous performance from Gary Oldman, who played Sid Vicious in Sid and Nancy. As Orton, Oldman has concocted a strutting, heavy-lidded come-on, head lolling back, chest puffed out. It reminds me of a bantamweight Mae West. But Oldman also reveals a younger, less cocky Orton, testing out jokes on Halliwell and pleading for the laugh with a bumpkin's fat grin, as in this scene, in which Orton and Halliwell set up housekeeping.
Neither of us seems to have any family photos.
I'm an orphan.
I always wanted to be an orphan. I could have been if it hadn't have been for my parents.
Oldman delivers a captivating portrayal, and the movie needs it, because Alfred Molina, as Halliwell, is as creepy and off-putting as his real-life counterpart apparently was. Huge, ungainly, and completely bald, Halliwell isn't a man, he's a walking, lurching monument. All of which hurts the movie. It's impossible to understand Orton's devotion to this creature, and it's impossible to slip into Halliwell's point of view, as the movie so often wants us to do. Even so, this is a remarkable film, and at its center is a remarkable performance. With his portrayal of Joe Orton, Gary Oldman confirms what those who have been watching him in British television and theater have long suspected, that this is the most brilliant English actor of his generation.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.